where you can spend, you earn, and then you get a return at the pump. So we'll tell you all about that. And then, of course, we're giving away the Hershey Kisses. And you can come by and check out all the great deals from Hershey as well. Reese's standard candy bars right now, BOGO.
Buy one, get one free right here. Thanks to Hershey's.
Yeah.
Setting us up at the Easy Stop on Hunt Road.
And it's Friday. Have you felt the love today?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. It's just been, I'm not going to lie.
Uh-huh.
It's just been another day.
Okay.
For the old Cunningham family so far. It woke up. If anybody has potty training tips, inbox me, email, anything, tweet at Josh and he'll pass it along to me.
I can forward.
I am literally about to lose my mind. But yeah, so the morning started with ripping the sheets off the bed, putting them in the washer and dryer, and then getting both kids in the bathtub.
Okay. Well, happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, happy Valentine's
Day.
Yeah,
yeah. one of these big Hershey's Kisses will make it better for you as well. So we appreciate Hershey setting us up on this Friday afternoon, and we'll help you get ready for the weekend and hope everybody has good Valentine's Day plans. If you haven't done that, do that because the day is moving along very quickly. So make sure you're ready for the weekend as well. And we'll get you set up. So stop by and see us here today. We'll be here until 3 o'clock. Thanks to Hershey's at the Easy Stop, Hunt Road, and 2828 East Hunt Road is the address. And also here, Gas Loyalty, Easy Pay set up for you. You can get Special K bars, save 10 cents a gallon on two. Red Bull, if you need a little pick-me-up heading into the weekend, 16-ounce Red Bulls, you can get 10 cents per gallon off when you get two of those. So ways to save when you come in, and free Hershey's Big Kisses right here as well. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. We have Joel Silverberg back at the studio with us this afternoon. And we'll talk to Barrett Salee, talk a little college football with him at 12:30. Will Shelton from Game Day on Rocky Top talking about a big Tennessee basketball game tomorrow. If the Vols want to try to make a run at the NCAA tournament, they probably need to win tomorrow against South Carolina. So we'll cover that for you this afternoon as we begin today's show taking a look around the sports world.
The biggest news, the main stories, the headlines that have everyone talking. It's time to take a look around the sports world.
Lady Vols fell again last night, Heather, to LSU, 75-65. So the Lady Vols against some tougher competition here more recently. LSU they faced, but this one was on the road. It has gotten tougher for Tennessee in conference play.
Yeah, it definitely has. And remember, we looked up bracketology with Charlie Cream earlier this week, and Tennessee was a 9 seed and trending down. So I think now the big question is, can they hold on to a single-digit seed through this last little stretch of the regular season and then the SEC tournament, or are you going to be looking at a double-digit seed for the Lady Vols? Still a win, I think, as long as Kelly Harper gets into the tournament with a talent like Renia Davis, like Jordan Horston has been a fantastic freshman phenomenon. I think she needs to get to the tournament. She's sitting pretty right now, so that's not in jeopardy, but will it be a single-digit seed or a double-digit?
Yeah, missing the tournament would just be a huge disappointment.
That would be a huge disappointment, yes, because there's too much talent on this team, and they've done too much already this season. They would have to fall apart.
On the men's side, college basketball last night, Indiana beat Iowa, Oregon beat Colorado. You head into a weekend where big SEC games, Tennessee against South Carolina, they're very close against one another, 7-4 versus 6-5 in conference play. If the Vols can get a win, they can sweep the season home and home with South Carolina.
Something interesting, and I was just looking back over my notes yesterday, all three of us had in the power poll South Carolina as one of the top five teams in the league. None of us considered Tennessee in there. Tennessee is higher rated in KenPom rankings. I think they're still narrowly being projected to win this game at South Carolina. I think it's definitely going to be closer. I'm just wondering, why are we not considering the Vols more for one of the five best teams in the league? And why are we so quick to jump on South Carolina, even though I concede they are trending up right now?
Because I think they've played better basketball since the two teams played. South Carolina has a better record, and when they played, it was a one-point game in Knoxville.
Yeah.
But if South Carolina goes down tomorrow, if Tennessee's coming back to Knoxville with another win with Vanderbilt next, then my next prediction would be that we'll all have Tennessee in the top five next week. So the opportunity is right there. The schedule's tough, and that makes it challenging, but that also creates an opportunity if you can go win some of those games.
Yeah.
You need to win a lot of them.
Yeah, right. And like you said when we were kicking off the show, the NCAA tournament is still, even though it's a long shot, that fire hasn't been totally extinguished yet, And if you want to keep those hopes alive, you have to go on the road and get one of these tough wins.
The big boys in the SEC this weekend. Kentucky will be at home against Ole Miss. You have Auburn on the road against Missouri. So pay attention to Auburn, Bruce Pearl versus Konzo Martin. And then that's right before – no, it's the same time, I'm sorry, as Tennessee, South Carolina. Right before that, LSU will be playing at Alabama. So LSU, Auburn, Kentucky – all vying for that top spot in the conference. And then tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, Florida at home against Vanderbilt. As the Gators took care of business against Texas A&M, they'll try to do the same against Vanderbilt. Those teams don't necessarily help, but the wins help try to strengthen the resume for the NCAA tournament, which is a conversation we should not be having with Florida, but we are having.
Yeah, you're still putting them in the potential category. We really don't know what Florida is going to do during this last stretch and during the SEC tournament, and that'll determine how far of a run they can make in the NCAA tournament. But I think it's really just strange because they haven't had any major injuries. They got Kerry Blackshear. He's kind of been a quiet, solid player. He hasn't made a huge splash in the league like maybe his recruitment suggested. But it's so weird to get to this part of the schedule with only, six games remaining, and you still don't know how good Florida is.
They haven't been good enough to this point. So tomorrow night they have a chance to at least beat up on a team that only has one conference win to this point in Vanderbilt. Blackshear's numbers this year, 13.5 points, just under 8 rebounds per game for the Florida Gators. The NBA last night.
Zion! Nobody saw it, though, right? It's league pass only at this point.
32 points. It wasn't a loss to Oklahoma City.
It was.
But a career high there for Zion.
You know, I was looking at the different preseason odds, win total, odds on the win total over-unders, and one of the sports books had him at 39 wins. I think that's probably unattainable because they're at, 23 right now. But do you think that Zion, I know he had a huge game and it was still a loss, you think he could get him to 35 wins?
Yeah, I think that could happen.
Yeah, that's exciting.
But they need to be better. They're still not an exceptional team by any means. They're at the bottom of their division, which doesn't tell you everything. But they are 9 games under 500 right now, 23-32.
So if he can get them to a winning record, that'd be hard, though.
No chance.
Yeah, that'd be really hard.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess just watch Zion, enjoy that, and then hit the reset button for next year on him.
Yeah, I mean, what do they have? They have they've played 55 games. So they have 27 remaining.
I'm going to defer to you on the math on air. Yeah.
Yeah, I just, I wouldn't worry too much about the playoffs and the record this season. It's about continuing to develop and then figure out what you're going to do in the offseason with some of your personnel.
And also on a local and even an NBA-wide level, it's about cultivating fans, right? It's about proving that you were worth the top pick in the draft. You were worth everything that you got and all the hype. And so I think it's all about the cultivation of the Pelicans fan base and creating more Zion fans out there too.
The Clippers went down again last night. Heading into the All-Star break, how much concern with Paul George also dealing with another hamstring issue now? They could also say, well, the break will come at a good time, but not playing their best basketball right now ahead of the break with one of their stars who's dealt with a shoulder issue at the beginning of the year, going back to last season, and then a hamstring issue over the last month.
Doc Rivers is concerned. I would be concerned, especially if you have bet on the Clippers to win the title, because you know hamstring and groin injuries, they can last, they can linger, and they can flare up at any time. And so I would be very concerned. And then there were already concerns mounting about them being a little small when it comes to making a run in the playoffs and trying to get to the finals. So now your biggest guy is also injured. That's probably not a recipe for winning a championship.
So the updated Vegas odds now that the first half, it's not the first half, but the break is here for the All-Star game, you have the Lakers as slight favorites, plus 180 to the Milwaukee Bucks, plus 275, and then the LA Clippers plus 325. Would you go in that order or a different one?
My first take when looking at that and listening to everybody, all the NBA experts that I've listened to over the past 2 weeks, I think the Lakers getting those odds is Vegas trying to take your money. I think there's still some big question marks about them when it comes to winning a title. I like the Bucks. I really do like the Bucks.
Do they have enough star power to win a title?
That's the big question. I can't answer that until, I mean, is Giannis as good as Kawhi?
Well, Giannis is playing the best basketball in the league, I would say. LeBron at his best is right there as well, and Kawhi in an individual game can take over and win. So I think it depends on what your definition of best is, but Giannis is going to be the MVP, and deservedly so.
Would you compare the supporting cast around Giannis to what Kawhi had last year on the Raptors?
Somewhat. You know, Chris Middleton's a guy that maybe doesn't get enough appreciation for what he's done.
That's why I asked the question is, we don't know, but we also didn't know that Kawhi could carry the load that he carried last year and win a title.
Well, and we won't know until they do it. So they will be the favorites in the Eastern Conference going into the playoffs. The All-Star break is here. Daytona's here this weekend. We'll talk Tennessee football. The Astros continue to just get beaten up in the public relations department. Yesterday did not go well for Houston.
Yeah, it was a disaster. Yeah. So, I mean, when you step in, you know, a big pile of mess, and then you just walk around like you have no mess on you, you're probably going to get laughed at.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday it reminded me of Derek Dooley Day's time of Tennessee and just the PR mistakes that were made over and over and over again. When he was the head coach, it's not the only time, but man, right there in the middle, that's when you saw the best run.
So you're excluding the John Curry out recruiting and hiring people, and then, oh wait, you don't have that decision-making power anymore because we've actually fired you. We need you to come back.
Yeah, well, that to me was more cluster behind the scenes instead of PR
out in
front of everybody.
You're right.
Yeah, no. That was a mess, just in a different category. That is a look around the sports world as we get you ready for the weekend, enjoying Valentine's Day here. Hershey's Kisses right here. Heather, you got kisses for everybody.
Of course. And so do you.
I mean, sure.
We're going to keep, we're going to keep everybody happy here. But no, come by, get some great Hershey Kisses. These are the huge ones, and that's thanks to Steve Farmer and the gang at Hershey's for hooking us up with these. So come by. We're going to make your Valentine's Day super sweet, whether you have a Valentine or maybe you don't. So we're here for everybody today.
A good old Hershey's Kiss can make it better for anybody. Right here at the Easy Stop, 2028 East Hunt Road in Maryville, where we will be until 3 o'clock this afternoon. We'll get you ready for the weekend. We'll talk Tennessee, South Carolina, catch up on Tennessee football from the week as well. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. Joel Silverberg back at the studio with us on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, thanks for being with us. Barrett Salee, CBS Sports, coming up in 12 minutes. We'll talk some football with him, some college football, thoughts on some of the coaching moves we've seen around the SEC, Tennessee with a few moves earlier this week. The assistant coaches have not been announced that I've seen, but you know they started working at the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
But
they're on the payroll.
Yeah, South Carolina today announced Tracy Rocker, at least the contract details were announced. I believe $550 for him at South Carolina on a 2-year deal. So the defensive line coach who left Tennessee was quickly replaced by Jimmy Brumbaugh, who came from Colorado. That kind of worked out for him too, right? Because Mel Tucker left Colorado to go to Michigan State. It works out for a lot of people in college football. But it worked out for Tracy Rocker. He's getting more than $500,000 to go coach at South Carolina. So Tennessee with some staff changes with assistants and player personnel, people, all that stuff.
Over under a year and a half for Will Muschamp being the head coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks.
So your question is, does he get fired after this season?
Yep. I'm trying to put it in gambling terms.
Yeah, I got you. I will say, I'll say he's there past 2020. I'll say he's there next year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that's the upset pick right now.
So you think it goes pretty good right now?
I didn't say that.
Man, if they have 500, though, you think they keep him?
Okay, so what's the win total needed for Will Muschamp to be the coach in 2021?
Would you say at least 7, if not 8?
If he goes 7-5, I think there's a good chance he's the coach.
Okay.
Beyond that. If they're handing out multi-year deals, you have Ray Tanner in place, I would think would be a more supportive AD. I don't know that. I'm guessing very much from the outside.
Yeah.
But I would say 7-5 or better. That's a clear improvement from this past season, right?
Yes,
nice,
definitely.
Nice little bounce back.
And it should be
attainable. What standard should South Carolina have?
You know, it's really gotten skewed with Steve Spurrier. Three straight 11-win seasons can really throw your odometer
off. If anybody there has anything close to that standard, that's insane.
Well, I don't think they do, but I think they want to consistently have a winning program.
Yeah, I would say that's true.
And a program that they can be proud of, and I don't necessarily think that the last couple of years have reflected that sort of standard.
Yeah, so as I look at their schedule for this upcoming year, you know, playing Clemson every year, that really makes it tough.
Yeah.
From the SEC West this year, they go to LSU. That makes it tough as well.
That's hard.
You consider what the schedule is. They open up with Coastal Carolina. Better chance to beat them than they had with North Carolina last year. Same with East Carolina the next week. You have Missouri at home and then Kentucky on the road.
And then at Florida.
At Florida's going to be tough. Tennessee at home will be tough. Off week before Texas A&M at home.
So their draw is A&M and LSU.
If they get to 7-5 or better, I would keep Will Muschamp.
Yeah, I think if he gets to 7-5, he's safe. That's tough. That's a hard West draw. I mean, Texas A&M, at some point in time, right, they're going to make a huge jump with Jimbo. And you would think this year with Kellen Mond would be the year.
The expectations, you want to talk about rising. They will rise at A&M with Jimbo Fisher making the money that he does.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
That's potentially two losses just right there.
Well, yeah, potentially. I mean, you got to play A&M every year. That comes with it.
Yeah.
But for sure, it's not an easy game for South Carolina. At LSU, you would right now cross off as a loss, knowing they won in Athens. And then Clemson, that's always a good luck one. So they should get 3 non-conference wins. Can you go 4-4 in SEC play with LSU and Texas A&M? I mean, if they go 6-6, I don't know that I would fire them. Because, again, you factor in what they are. You still have to look at what – you have to assess your program.
Yeah.
How attractive is your job? All of that has to go into play. South Carolina is not Florida, Georgia, or Tennessee, I don't think, in terms of what they should expect out of their program.
And correct me if I'm wrong. Haven't they just now, or they're on the cusp of just now completing their big football facility that's supposed to be this big boost in recruiting and help? It's either brand new or it's about to open maybe this year. And so – I think, too, you have to give Will Muschamp time to use that asset to boost the program.
You know, with South Carolina and Will Muschamp, Tennessee just beat him for the first time. Are fans now saying Muschamp's beatable, I'd rather him stay there, or would you pull for him to lose his job? What are Tennessee fans going to say?
I think you would, now that you've gotten over the hump, I think you want him to stay there. I would like to see him stay there because it seems like there's just been an inordinate amount of turnover. You know, you rewind the clock 2 years ago. Everybody was coming back this year at SEC Media Days, and now you have, what, 4 new faces that are going to be back at SEC meetings. So, I think it's just that the less turnover from the head job that you can have, I think it's better for the conference.
Yeah, I think it was about this time yesterday we were talking about the Tennessee-South Carolina game as well. One that Tennessee fans are going to say you can't lose it.
Even though I think it's football. Oh yeah.
Even though I think it's the
it's going to be hard.
I think it's the fifth toughest game for Tennessee on the schedule. Kentucky may be the better team. At South Carolina is probably the tougher game.
It is, and the reasons why I think you say that is because Tennessee, for whatever reason, still has an edge on Kentucky. They still own sort of the upper hand in that rivalry, and they don't. I mean, 1 year out of how many against Will Muschamp at South Carolina, you've only won one. So, yes, and then going on the road, factoring that in, that's going to be a very tough game. But like we were saying when we were having that conversation, if you're going to level up, if you're Tennessee and you're going to level up this year, you got to take care of business in that game.
Both teams will be playing at the end of a 6-game stretch ahead of an off week.
So no advantages there for either team.
Right. The 2 weeks before going to South Carolina, Tennessee will play Florida and Missouri. Remember, the Missouri game is earlier with Georgia being later.
Yep.
The 2 weeks before Tennessee comes to town, South Carolina will play at Kentucky and at Florida. And Missouri before that, so actually 3 straight SEC games before playing Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I would say no advantage one way or the other scheduling-wise, other than South Carolina being at home.
Yeah, yeah. What's the song that they play?
Yeah,
so, Get used to that.
Yeah.
That's definitely an advantage because that song is annoying.
All right, so if we rank the rivalries in the SEC East, all seven of them, South Carolina is still probably toward the bottom half, but it's a big South Carolina weekend for Tennessee in basketball. We'll talk about that this afternoon. We'll talk more football with Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com. His thoughts on where Tennessee is this offseason with coaching staff changes and what year three might look like for Jeremy Pruitt. When we come back, Heather Hershey setting us up right here at the Easy Stop in Maryville today. We have big Hershey's Kisses to give away on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, thanks to Steve Farmer and the crew at Hershey's. We've got the big, big 7-ounce solid milk chocolate Hershey Kisses. We're going to give you one per person as long as supplies last. So they've been moving. So if you are in the doghouse, you didn't have flowers or candy ready to go today, this morning, we're going to hook you up. So whenever you get off work, you can surprise your Valentine with something sweet from Hershey's. And also right now, Reese's Standard Candy Bars at the Easy Stop right here on Hunt Road. Buy one, get one free.
That's right. Double up, buy one, get one on Reese's Standard Candy Bars right here at the Easy Stop, 2028 East Hunt Road, where you can find us today in Maryville until 3 o'clock. We'll come back with Barrett Salee of CBS Sports here on FM 99.1, the sports animal. Back on Sports 180, download the WNML app, and you can listen on the go anytime. Barrett Salee of CBS Sports, scheduled to join us coming up in just a moment. We'll talk a little college football with him. Coaching moves again this week. It was $525,000 for Tracy Rocker. I said $550,000, $525,000 for his annual salary on a two-year contract going to South Carolina. So I think a $20,000 per year raise for him from what he was making at Tennessee. So coaching movement season. Still ongoing, especially with a head coach just being hired at Michigan State a couple of days ago.
I was about to say, you can never count anything out in this day and time, so any moves can still be made.
Yes, you can still come on down here. We'll be here until 3, Heather, at the Easy Stop in Maryville, thanks to Hershey's.
Yeah, thanks to the Easy Stop, thanks to Steve Farmer and all the people at Hershey's. We're giving away the 7-ounce solid milk chocolate Hershey Kisses, one per person. So come in and say Happy Valentine's Day to me or Josh. We'd be glad for you to take one of these home. They have the gas loyalty easy pay items here. So if you're not part of the return and earn program, what are you waiting for? Special K bars, you buy two, you're going to save 10 cents a gallon. Red Bull 16 ounces, buy two, save 10 cents a gallon. And then tall Pringles, also buy two, save 10 cents. So you can stack all those up, use them at one time, and enjoy some cheap gas.
Yes, while you're here. So you can save and take care of Valentine's Day. Thanks to Hershey's at the Easy Stop on East Hunt Road, 2028 East Hunt Road in Maryville, where we are this afternoon. And also with the move from Mel Tucker going to Michigan State, that's a week after signing day. I believe that makes seven coaching changes, head coaching moves.
Yes, seven.
Since the first signing day. Does that add to the conversation? Does that increase the likelihood that we will see some kind of one transfer option out there in the future? Without having to sit out. Somebody that could be good to ask, Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com. He joins us now on the Stanley Fenson Gates Hotline. Barrett, we appreciate the time as always. Your thoughts there with the Mel Tucker move and just the impact on the transfer conversation that is ongoing with the NCAA and college football especially.
Well, I mean, I think it's what's happened not just at Michigan State and Colorado, but Mississippi State and Washington State and all these late cycle, you know, coaching changes. It just makes that Big Ten proposal for one-time transfers, you know, more likely to pass because, you know, kids who signed and a lot of them who enrolled in January, their lives changed dramatically since that point in terms of their football futures. So, you know, they should have control a little bit more of their football futures. Now, you know, they shouldn't have 100% control. I mean, they signed up and they need to, you know, stick to it. And there should be some limitations. You can't have free agency, but you know, it certainly has to strengthen the case for that proposal to pass, which I think it will. And you know, as long as this stuff continues to happen, especially considering, I mean, the thing that doesn't get talked about a lot is that you still have, you know, whether you have odd situations like this Michigan State thing or not, you still have the NFL coaching change cycle, which takes place, you know, 3 weeks after the early national signing period and enrollment. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of coaching changes anyway, no matter what the situation is in January. So, yeah, I mean, I think the one-time transfer proposal is more likely to pass because of this.
will it pass for people starting next year? I mean, it, will 2020 see the right to transfer once without penalty?
Yeah, I think it could. I think it'll happen pretty quickly. I think when you have situations like this, you know, the NCAA is going to look at it, I think, in a certain way and say, hey, look, you know, the transfer portal, you know, it obviously is popular now. It's, I think, provided structure to a system that was already taking place anyway, but it was not necessarily brought in responsibly. And I think the education, or, you know, there was a lack of education with kids and with players and coaches and, I mean, all these, you know, I don't think anybody knew, like, all the different tentacles, like you can't come back or you can have your scholarship withdrawn if you enter, things like that. So I think they look at that as not necessarily a mistake, but the unintended consequences were not well thought out. And in a proposal like this, I mean, there really are no unintended consequences. You have a rule, one-time transfer. Then if you have to transfer a second time, it goes back to what it used to be. You sit out 1 year, and you have a strict set of parameters that would provide a waiver, sick grandma, sick mom, whatever. You know, it's easier, it's cleaner, and I think they recognize that.
We're talking to Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com, at Barrett Salee on Twitter. And Tennessee, a part of assistant coach moves from a few weeks ago and then more this week. Does anything stand out there, Barrett, as Tennessee does continue to have Jeremy Pruitt and then its same coordinators, Jim Chaney and Derek Ansley, who will be coming back, but shuffling through the rest of the staff?
Not really. I mean, I think the it's clear that Pruitt wants to have wants to continue to find recruiters that can also coach a little bit. I think he understands recruiting-centric staff is going to get you a much better chance at being successful in a way that you want to be. So, yeah, I mean, I think that what's been going on at Tennessee is it's pretty much the what happened with Kirby at Georgia. You get their players, you get the recruits, and then you figure out the X's and O's part later. And I think that's the right way to go about it because – a lot of these coaches, that they understand what they're doing. They've been with Pruitt. They understand, you know, his philosophy. So you're not going to have, you know, you're not going to have any, you know, sort of gap between what they want, what they could be, and, you know, an X's and O's, pure X's and O's guys from the pros. You know, they're not going to recruit well. Like Tosh Lupoy at Alabama, he went to the pros because he could not coach well. He was not an X's and O's guy because he never learned how to be that. A lot of these guys at Tennessee. And other places as well, there are recruiters who still have learned under some of the best X's and O's coaches in the country, and as a result, they'll be able to work with what they got and stock that cupboard and move forward from there.
I mean, Barrett, I think all of us here in Tennessee should be happy with the recruiting class that Jeremy Pruitt pulled out. I mean, a top 10 nationally when you're looking at the 247 composite. But my question is, how many wins is it going to take in 2020 for Tennessee to nab an elite recruiting class? Because, as we all know, 10th in the country means that's only good enough for 7th in the SEC.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think wins is going to have a whole lot to do with it, because I think a lot of kids look at Tennessee right now and say, okay, look, what are you going to do for me personally, and what does the future hold long term? Because they look at Tennessee and say, okay, Jeremy Pruitt's a good coach, obviously well-regarded as a defensive coach. Is there playing time available? What kind of preparation am I going to get for the NFL? And, you know, at the same time, you know, is there a chance to win the SEC East? And the answer, I think, at Tennessee moving forward is probably, yeah, there's a chance. You know, and I think a lot of kids, gravitate towards situations like that, because if you can find a place where you can, A, play early, B, get trained for the NFL, B, play early, C, win national championships and SEC championships, then you're going to be attracted to that, you know, especially those kids who want to play early and feel like they can play early and can play early. So I don't think wins has a whole lot to do with it. I think all Jeremy needs to do is show, you know, positive momentum and be able to prove, hey, look, you know, the end of the 2019 season was the start of something, and in 2020 the momentum kept going forward. Not there yet. You can help us get it there. And as long as there's that selling point, I think they'll be fine.
Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com. Barrett, how much would you have charged the Astros to go in a different direction with their PR approach yesterday?
Oh, my God. Like, that would be – like, that was – everything about that was terrible. I look, and the only thing that was good about that was Carlos Correa, like, actually, you know, owning things. But I mean, my God, what an abject possession. You know what they did? I guarantee you they paid for over $1 million for that guidance to have that concert, which is just, or that that press conference, which is just insane. Like, that stupid money being spent on that. I cannot believe that. It was, that's going to be taught in PR class, in like sports management classes, and like, watch this whole process from November 11th to yesterday. Do the opposite. Like, do the opposite. Everything they do, the exact other thing, and you'll be fine. It's been a disaster.
So, Barrett, put yourself in the Astros' shoes. They're obviously not sorry. They don't care. They got the World Series championship. Yeah. So, is it better to just say nothing and skirt the issue, or do the fake apology like they did?
I think they're trying. I mean, to me, it feels like they got into the situation where they don't care, obviously. But they tried to have some sort of regret publicly, and because they feel like, it feels like it's sort of like a team that gets caught in college sports, right? Like they got caught, they understand, they screwed up, they really like winning, they're still intoxicated by winning, and they don't want the league to investigate further. So they're just kind of trying to do this half-assed apology to try to get everybody off their backs. And you know, maybe the league gets off their backs, but my God, it's doing way more harm than good. It's unbelievable how bad this has been for them.
Yeah, but wildly entertaining. Speaking of, before you go, any predictions with the final four now set in The Bachelor?
Oh, I think it's Madison all the way. I think Madison's the front runner from the beginning. I think Madison moving forward, man, I can't wait to watch that that hometown with Bruce Pearl next week, or I guess Monday. But yeah, she's my favorite for sure. I mean, there's no doubt. And my God, like last week, is the idea that, and I made this joke, when you're a contestant and you start saying, okay, I need to tell him about who she really is, that's the equivalent of like Kyle Shanahan going into the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl with a 2-score lead. Like, you're going to fail at that point.
What a great analogy. So if Madison wins, who's going to be the Bachelorette? Hannah's too young, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And she's the other great one. Yeah, Hannah Ann, she's the other just awesome candidate.
I wouldn't mind it being Hannah Ann. I think Hannah Ann, but if Madison wins, I don't know. There's not a whole lot of, who the Tammy girl that went crazy? That'd be fun.
Yeah. Well, that'd be fun.
Yeah, I just want to get nuts. I might go to a previous season. I might go Ari style and go backwards.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah,
I think Madison. What do you guys think? You think? It's
yeah,
Madison?
I think Madison's the winner, unless there's some just wild twist that we're not ready for. But I think Madison is the favorite here.
And for me, Barrett, because I still don't watch the show, Reality Steve Reality Steve. I get all the answers. You can ask my husband. I get all the answers from the spoilers. And Josh, I always ask him, can I tell you what's going to happen? And he says no.
Yeah. By the way, she's from Houston. So no surprise in the lying there from Heather just a second ago, Barrett.
Exactly. See, it's the Houston. Incidentally, completely apropos of nothing, I discovered Cobra Kai because I had the flu. Cobra Kai on YouTube. Holy crap, that's the greatest show of all time.
Wait, and you have
the greatest show of all time.
You have this blind date show that's coming out on Netflix as well.
Ooh.
So we're really getting a good run here.
It's really the best way to find out about new shows or shows you miss is get sick. That's word of advice.
Get sick.
At Barrett Salee, follow him there. Read his work, CBSSports.com, CBS Sports HQ as well. Watch him there. Hey, Barrett, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much. Enjoy this weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, y'all.
Barrett Salee every Friday. Yep, Final Four set.
It is set, and I think he's right. I don't know. I'm being serious when I say Reality Steve. He thinks it's going one direction, but he has not put out who the winner is yet. So, but that's Madison seems to be the favorite.
The one thing we all know is that you're reading the spoilers. We went over this a few weeks ago. You read spoilers to movies either before or while you watch them.
Yeah.
While a movie is on, you will pull up the spoiler to see what will happen.
Yeah, there was the movie, and John Wilkerson saw it, but it was about a writer named Lee Israel, and I was just, she was embroiled in a controversy in the movie, and so I was like, huh, I wonder if she gets out of this. Nope.
you didn't have the 40 minutes to find out?
It was slow. I had nothing else to do.
Okay. Did you finish the movie?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I did. Nice little movie.
All right. We will come back here.
Wouldn't watch it again.
Got to reset, obviously. We'll hit the face-off presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center, getting you ready for Valentine's weekend as Hershey's has set us up here in Maryville at the Easy Stop, 2028 East Hunt Road, where you can find us. We'll come back. We have big Hershey's Kisses for you right here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Download the WNML app. Find us online as well, 99.1thesportsanimal.com. Will Shelton talking Tennessee hoops and football coming up at 1:30. We're with you until 3 o'clock. Hershey setting us up, Heather, in Maryville at the Easy Stop.
Thanks so much to Steve Farmer and all the lucky little Cupids at Hershey's, because we've got the 7-ounce solid milk chocolate Hershey Kisses to give away. And I think my stack's a little smaller than your stack. I think more people want kisses from me. But
seems
Josh
to be the
has,
case.
Josh has the kisses, too, so come by and see us. We're on Hunt Road. We're going to be here till 3 o'clock. The Hershey Kisses are while supplies last only, so make sure you get by and come tell us Happy Valentine's Day. And don't forget, if you have forgotten that it's Valentine's Day and you want to wow your sweetie, they also have Reese's Standard Candy Bars here. Buy one, get one free today while we're here.
Why didn't the skeleton hand out any Valentine's Day cards?
I don't know.
His heart wasn't in it. Let's hit the face off.
You want some? Come get some.
Head to head, toe to toe. Let's go one on one with today's face off.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man.
Presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center.
Are you ready?
Let's get this mother crock.
Alrighty, Joel, set us up here.
Who will win tomorrow, Tennessee or South Carolina?
I'm about to fall behind 0-1 here in the face-off. I'm going to stick with my pick at the beginning of the week. I'm going to say South Carolina wins. It's a very winnable game for Tennessee. Tennessee beat South Carolina in Knoxville. It's very close. Let's see what the status is for Josiah Jordan-James. He can make a big impact, but I'll stick with the Gamecocks.
I'm going to go with the Vols here, and that's not just because I'm trying to 180 you and get points from Joel, but I had South Carolina as a win on Tennessee's schedule whenever we were looking at their final eight games.
You did.
So let's see what they do. I think Tennessee's coming off a big win, and we'll see. South Carolina's going to be a good opponent, but give me the Vols.
Would either of you lift your ban on booing for the Astros this season?
If my kids weren't in attendance at the game with me, yeah, I might lift it. But again, whenever your three-year-old is like, Mommy, why is that guy screaming like that? And the baby is crying, I'm going to have to stick with my original 180 and ban booing.
I'm going to stick with the ban. This is actually, I think, where part of my reasoning for thinking booing doesn't make any sense comes into play. We need to be more creative, and this is what calls for it. Jay Busby today is asking for the best music that should be played during games to make fun of them. So let's get creative with the jeering of the Astros.
Give us a pick to win this year's NASCAR Cup Series title.
Part of this pick is, I'd like to see him break through. I'm going to go with Denny Hamlin.
He's been a
really good driver for a long time. I'm going to go with Denny Hamlin to win the title. It's a field where I can see a number of guys being able to either get it done again or break through. I'll go with Denny.
You know way more about it than I do. I'm just going to look at the odds and pick my favorite. I'm going to go with Brad Keselowski.
Okay.
Yeah. 10-1.
Brad K?
Yeah. Looking good for winning. He's looking good to win the Daytona. We'll see what happens. But
do you have
like
a favorite driver?
No.
Okay.
No. I remember, I guess I'm most familiar with Joey Logano because he started basically when I was starting here.
What is the best rom-com to watch for Valentine's Day?
Best rom-com. I got to go with my number one. It's on the DVR always, and that's You've Got Mail. I love You've Got Mail. I think When Harry Met Sally used to be my favorite, but it has been trumped because I'm just obsessed with Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. I want them to do another rom-com. Come on, give us one more before you guys are done.
I'm going to give you one that's a little bit off the radar. It's not going to rank as like a top four. It's not a Mount Rushmore, not a top five. He's just not that into you. Now, I'll give it to you for a couple reasons.
That movie's terrible.
You're terrible. One, you can make fun of it. This is a day where we need to keep things a little more lighthearted. Enjoy your big Hershey's kiss. Make fun of everything that has to do with that movie. Or if you're single, you can cry to it, whichever.
You know, the problem with that movie, they spent so many people on the actors, they couldn't hire any writers to actually make the movie.
You know what's terrible is the movie Valentine's Day. Have you seen that one?
Oh, bad.
Oh,
bad.
Woof.
Who will win the NBA's three-point and dunk contest this weekend?
He will be wet like he's booked. Devin Booker going to win the three-point contest.
Okay, you're going with Booker.
And maybe this is me being the older guy a little bit now.
Don't do it. Plus 650.
Dwight. I'm going to go with Dwight to get it done again.
He's going to break a knee in the process.
Maybe so, and the Lakers not going to be happy about it. I can't believe he's in the contest.
Yeah,
put me down for Dwight.
This is wild. Okay, for the three-point shooting contest, I'm going to go with Buddy Hield. He's the only participant in this competition with over 200 three-pointers made this season. So what is Sacramento, by the way? What's their logo? They're the Kings, right? He's going to be the king of the three-point contest. See what I did there? Trying my best at dad jokes. And then I'm going to go with Mr. Whiteman Can Jump himself.
Pat?
I'm going with Pat.
Okay.
I'm going with Pat. Second highest max vertical in NBA draft combine history.
Who's the winner? It's Pat, says Heather.
Yeah. And he's got the luck of the Irish on his side, so that's who I'm going with.
All right, Heather gets the win.
I don't think I stood a chance today, did I? He's not it that actually, into you picking the Gamecocks and Dwight Howard to win the dunk contest.
Okay, remember the first time Tennessee and South Carolina played?
I do.
Today's face-off was just like that.
Just a good old rock fight that nobody actually wanted to hear or watch. Sounds good. That's the face-off. It's presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center. Heather gets the win, kind of. You can be winning this weekend. Fort Sanders, how about it? Valentine's weekend is here today, tomorrow, and Sunday. If you're not a member, mention Sports 180. You can try it out this weekend for free. If you're a member, if your significant other is not, they can come in for free this weekend to celebrate. They have a bunch of couples activities going on. I was in there last night. They've got the balloons all set up for you. Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center.
And you know what you need to do? I know you and Kelly have this thing where y'all don't really buy presents for each other. Get her a nice massage from the day spa. You could walk in there. You could just say, hey, I'll be right back. Go over there, buy the gift certificate, and then it doesn't matter what your schedule is or her schedule. She can check the kids into childcare because you have the family membership and go get that massage. You don't just have to work out. So that's an option. I'm just trying to help you out on Valentine's Day. Help yourself out with the family membership. You're going to get your workouts in. You're never going to get bored with over 130 group fitness classes, the full weight floor, the full cardio floor, indoor-outdoor tennis, indoor-outdoor pools. They have something for everyone to help you along your fitness journey.
Find them online, fshfc.com. Take advantage of the Valentine's weekend celebration. Kingston Pike, Pellissippi Parkway, it's Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center. We are with you for two more hours in Maryville. Hershey's setting us up here today to celebrate Valentine's Day. We'd love for you to stop by at the Easy Stop, 2028 East Hunt Road. More Tennessee basketball for the weekend. Tennessee football coming up on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.